We're going to talk about some slang, generational slang. But before that, we have some words that have been added to the Scrabble dictionary. We were talking about Scrabble a little earlier. And Dan was talking about his heady partying days when he would eat muffins and play Scrabble.
And one night a week when there was no bar specials. We would enjoy a deal as broke college students to have two-for-one muffins from Perkins.
Two-for-one muffins?
Two-for-one muffins.
That's a good deal.
That is a delicious deal. And then we would go back to our apartments and play Scrabble.
Oh, wait a minute. We did not... Did we recap your Baker Square adventure from this past week?
We did not recap my Baker Square.
We have to hear this.
Yes.
So you and your buddies who used to hang out at Baker Square in your Monte Carlos...
Yes.
We're thinking about something to do.
Right. We haven't seen each other since New Year's.
Right.
So we're like, what should we do? Should we get together? Where should we go? And my buddy Bill was like... Why don't we go to Baker Square on Sunday night like we used to? And I was like, that would be fantastic.
So how was that?
It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was per usual. As I had mentioned to you before, they've upgraded the place. There's a fireplace in there now.
Yeah, wow.
Completely different setup.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get sit, not asked for, but sat in a booth that we usually sat in.
Wow.
So that was kind of a nice kismet thing. And I had my chicken tenders, which I usually had, and then I had my French silk. Yeah,
yeah, that's usually what I have when I go to Baker Square.
Yeah.
I've been to many, many times. I used to live at, you know, I used to live just west of Foster and Cumberland.
Sure.
So that was a Baker Square.
By the Honeybee Complex.
By the Honeybee, yes, the Honeybee Complex. I'm in the Honeybee Complex. But yeah, so that was our jewel. Mm. And that was our Baker Square we would go to. And there used to be a Chuck E. Cheese in there, right?
Yes, no longer. It is now a gym.
It's a gym?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yes.
Going from a Chuck E. Cheese to a gym. Because most people go to Chuck E. Cheese, then they need to go to a gym.
Very so, true. Yes.
All right. Now, is the quality of the tenders and the French silk has not waned at all?
Not waned at all.
Wow. All right. Now, did you guys? Would you in the days when you were hanging out?
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys just like nurse cups of coffee and stuff? Or
coincidentally, you know, my friend Adrian did not have anything to eat. He just had coffee, which is usually what he had when he went. So, you know, it was our Sunday night hangout. So, you know, it'd be kind of our reconnecting place after the weekend plans.
You know,
if we didn't end up going home, you know, in the same car together as a group,
yeah,
you know, everybody splintered off, we would always kind of come back and reconnect and that Sunday night thing. So a lot of times it was Wayne and Adrian doing homework or something, and you know, they'd order a pot of coffee and sit there
and do their homework,
right,
at Baker Square. How's the fireplace? Is it really nice?
It was very lovely.
Where is it? I mean,
so when you walk in, you know, there's the counter immediately to your left.
The pie counter and everything?
The pie counter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So just over, you know, just past that half wall that separates the pie counter from the rest of the dining room, it's right in
That's
the
where
corner.
They installed the, the fireplace.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I haven't been there in a very long time. Been a very long time since I've been to that Baker. It's been a very long time since I've been to any Baker Square, but it's a... are there other Baker Square in the city?
It's
got to be, right?
There's another one on Harlem closer, I want to say, to the, like, Belmont area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any other ones.
Okay. Esmeralda, what Baker Square did you work at? In Joliet?
Yeah.
Is it still there?
Yes.
It is. Okay. And they still have the carpet sweepers?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. All right, good.
Any Perkins in Joliet?
No. What's that?
It's a restaurant chain that focuses down south. They've got a couple in Peoria.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they offer 2-for-1 muffins. That's what fueled Dan and his Scrabble players. What kind of muffins would you get?
I usually got the blueberry.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. So, anyway. All right, well, I'm glad that you guys had fun at the Baker Square.
Thank you.
Sometimes fun to go back to those places I used to hang out. Unfortunately, where I hung out with my guys, I would have to go to the Walgreens at Montrose and Central and kind of walk around there. That's because that's where Demetrio's used to be. And then across the street, I'd have to go to AZ's right now, fast food, which used to be, oh, my God. The ice Toots. Used to be Toots right there. That was where we hung out. It was one of those deals where it was like if anybody was out doing something separately, you knew that at least one, two, three, four of the guys
right.
would be at Demetrio's. You just, you know, pull up. Oh, there's at least three cars that we know. None of which were Monte Carlos, unfortunately.
Eh, you know, what are you going to do?
So, all right. Well, all of this came about because of Scrabble. And so it says, Scrabble aficionados and wordsmiths around the world will soon have some new reading material to bone up on in celebration of National Scrabble Day today, which was what, yesterday? Would that be yesterday or Monday? Or Sunday? National Scrabble Day. The makers of the classic word game announced that 300 new words will be added to Scrabble's official dictionary. 300!
Friday, this past Friday.
It was Friday. This past Friday was Scrabble Day. I hope you played Scrabble and ate 2-for-1 muffins.
This is unfortunate, but it was in honor of the birthday of the man who invented it, Alfred Mosher Butz.
How's he spell the last name? B-U-T-T-Z?
S.
Oh, no, come on, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
What's butts worth on the Scrabble board? What's the how many points do you get for butts? And you can't. Would they say you can't use that's a proper name? But it's also the name of, you know, two people who have a butt in the same room. They have butts, or they have cigarettes. They have many cigarettes that they have smoked, and in the ashtray are some butts. So. The new words will be published in the sixth edition of Merriam-Webster's The Official Scrabble Players Dictionary, which will be released this fall. So here are a few of the new additions. These are now legal Scrabble words, guys.
By the way, butts is an official Scrabble word. 7 points.
7 points for butts. Esmeralda, you can get 7 points for butts.
Of course you can.
Yeah. Some butts are worth more than 7 points. I would just like to say that right now. I think it depends on the butt, because some butts are worth more than 7 points. All right. Emoji is now legal to use in a Scrabble game. It's a noun, a small computer symbol used to express emotion. All right, now here's the two-letter word that's worth 15 points. 8 points more than butts. Ew. E-W. Used to express disgust. That's now legal. You can use that word now to play in Scrabble. Ew. E-W. 15 points. That'd be pretty funny if it was like next to butt. Ew. Butts. Facepalm. To cover the face with a hand. Do we really, is it necessary to have the definitions here? I know what a facepalm is. A macaroon, is that, hold on a second. A cookie with filling in the middle, that wasn't allowed? Until 2018? What? Was it, did they just like not, all other cookie varieties were okay except for the macaroon? You couldn't do that? That seems a little weird to me that it took till 2018 for that to be allowed in the game of Scrabble. How about this one? Puggle. That's a noun, a kind of dog. Puggle. That's another word that's been around for a long time. Okay. Sriracha. A spicy pepper sauce, but that's a brand name. I didn't. But isn't that, you can't use brand names, right? Or names in Scrabble? Or have I been playing the game wrong?
No, you're not supposed to, but I think that's one of those, like, now it's so ubiquitous that it's kind of...
It's like Tabasco?
Right.
Because people just say Tabasco, give me some Tabasco sauce?
Right.
Even if it's not Tabasco sauce? Well, no, Tabasco sauce has a very distinctive flavor. And so does Sriracha. All right. Some players of the 70-year-old game may be surprised to learn that ew isn't already a word, especially considering that Scrabble recognizes more than 100 two-letter words, including hmm... AI, which is a three-toed sloth. and za, which is slang for pizza. Come on. Seriously, you can use za in Scrabble? What is that? Did you guys see that that SNL sketch from earlier this season? I can't remember who the host was. Where I think it was Kevin Hart, maybe, was the host. I can't remember. But they were in court talking about something, and that they are arguing over whether the shortened version should be pronounced sa or za. Sa or za, because it's pizza, not pizza. They were arguing over whether the pronunciation of that should be different. New Scrabble words must meet a few criteria before they are added to the official dictionary. They must have 2 to 8 letters. They must be 2 to 8 letters long and already in the standard dictionary. Abbreviations, capitalized words, and words with hyphens or apostrophes are immediately ruled out. Peter Sokolowski, editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster, told Entertainment Weekly, "For a living language, the only constant is change. New dictionary entries reflect our language and our culture, including rich sources of new words, such as communication technology and food terms from foreign languages." The last edition of the Scrabble Dictionary came out in 2014, and that included 5,000 new words, such as selfie, hashtag, geocache? What is that? Geocache. One. What is it?
It's an outdoor recreational activity in which participants use a global positioning system and other navigational techniques to hide and seek containers called geocaches.
What?
So it's like a huge game of...
How is it that I've never even heard of this before? Esmeralda, you're the hipster here. What have you heard this?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. It's been around for a while now.
I have no idea what that... I've never heard that term before in my life.
It said it was founded in 2000.
It's 20 years almost. All right. How about Quinsy? Somebody figure that one out. Quinzhee. No idea. All right. We have to break and we'll come back and find out what the hell's going on. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. You hear me, 2 for Tuesday, 2? Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. Canadian Bills follow up there with Tom Cochran and No Regrets. And we've been talking about the new words that have been added to the Scrabble Dictionary, including emoji, ew, facepalm, macaroon, puggle, and sriracha. And we were talking about some of the ones that were added in 2014, the last time that they updated the Scrabble Dictionary, including words like selfie, hashtag, geocache, which I didn't know what that was, and another word that I don't know, Quinsy?
Quinsy is a snow shelter that is made from a large pile of loose snow, which is then shaped and hollowed. This is in contrast to an igloo, which uses blocks of hard snow, and a snow cave, which is constructed by digging into the snow.
Oh. And this is a popular enough term that it's made the dictionary. That, well, it's got to be worth some pretty good points.
Yeah.
It's got a Q and a Z in there,
right?
You know, so that's probably one of the reasons why they added it in there, so that you can get a nice big hunk of change when you're playing Scrabble. All right, well, there you go. So remember, ew is now legal in Scrabble. 15 points. That's pretty impressive. So za for pizza, that's been in the Scrabble dictionary. Za. Have you ever once referred to it as za, Dan?
Only sarcastically.
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about nicknames for pizza, and I was like, there was a guy who called it wheel?
Right.
Hey, man, you want to order a wheel? The hell are you talking about, man? Remember, didn't we have a caller call in and said he used to call it a wheel of grease? Or a wheel of, yeah, wheel of grease.
Wheel of grease, yeah.
You're ordering from the wrong place, man. If you're calling the pizza that you're eating wheel of grease, make sure you have plenty of napkins to dab on top of it.
Now I just imagine the restaurant is called Wheel of Grease.
Yeah. Yeah, come on down to Wheel of Grease, man. Yeah. Get our 2-for-1 muffin special. So, All right. So, speaking of terms and words and stuff like that, and including, you know, some of these words that have been added to the Scrabble dictionary are indeed slang terms. I would like to talk about your favorite slang terms. And we've got slang terms going all the way back to the 20s. And obviously our language and our slang terms have changed a lot over the course of the years. And some of these are just fantastic. I think some of them should be brought back. And then I have here a list of cracking the code of millennial slang. So we'll find out what some of these slang terms are that the kids are using nowadays that we don't understand, or at least I don't understand. I'm the oldest 52-year-old on the planet, people. So, anyway, so we're gonna have that coming up. But let's see, 53 slang terms by decade. So we have them separated by decade, starting in the 20s. And if you want to jump in here with your thoughts on your favorite slang terms from the past or present. Or if you've got, you know, kids running around, millennials running around saying stuff that makes no sense, try and explain it to us. Talk or text 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, your favorite text, your favorite slang from the past. And so what is this? Oh, I'm sorry, just noticed this.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that out for a little while.
Al McGuire, 1964 to 1977, was he a coach? He must have been a coach, right, for that period. Basketball coach, me? But I'm sorry, there's a little statue sitting in the on the in the studio of Al McGuire. By the way, his hand is busted. Did you see this?
I did not see
it. I think it's been re-glued. I think it's been like glued back on.
Al McGuire was a basketball coach for Marquette University from 1964 to 1977.
For what university?
Marquette.
Oh, for Marquette. Who went to, does somebody on the morning team go to Marquette? Anybody we know here go to Marquette?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, it's a weird looking little statue, and it was, I just noticed it now because it freaked me out. I looked over and I went, what is that?
Yeah, every time I've handed you a piece of paper today, I'm like, who the heck is that?
Yeah, it's Al McGuire, everybody. All right. All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to talk slang terms coming up after the news, which is next. Oh!
I apologize. YouTube is running a little slow this morning.
218. Well, we heard a little bit of it. 218. Gregory and the Hawk with Finn 8 song. What? Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, callers and texters are letting us know that Steve Bertrand went to Marquette. Oh, so this is Bertrand's little doll? It's a little creepy, Dan. Don't you think it's a little creepy? Little Al McGuire?
It is. I mean, it's definitely that old school kind of figurine before it was, you know, kind of like advanced enough where they can obviously give him a lot of characteristics, but it still kind of feels kind of off.
It's a little weird. All right. Well, okay. Bertrand, congratulations. I forgot that he went to Marquette. All right. So that's two for Tuesday. So apparently Gregory and the Hawk have two songs. Who the hell are Gregory and the Hawk? It's not Andre Dawson, is it? Is it? Ay.
It is Meredith Goudreau.
Okay.
An American singer-songwriter.
All right.
Active since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed independent success with two EPs and a full-length album.
Okay. All right. And the 218 area code likes them. Cool. You know, I was just telling Vic this off the air. He included a story about the Caddyshack restaurant, which is opening at 10 a.m. this morning, that the Murray brothers put together, Bill and his brothers. Put it together. It's a Caddyshack-themed restaurant bar filled with all kinds of really cool Caddyshack items and themes and all that cool stuff. It's located in the Crown Plaza Hotel, which is where we do the flashback weekend. So it's going to be – I just want to warn the people who are opening up the Caddyshack, the restaurant. that August 3rd through the 5th, you will be inundated with horror geeks. I just want you to know that. Just expect a lot of people in scary costumes, blood everywhere, invading the Caddyshack restaurant. I plan on going immediately. As soon as I check in, I'm going to the Caddyshack restaurant. But that's going to be really a lot of fun to see, you know. I'm going to take a lot of pictures. Let me just say this. I'm going to take a lot of pictures inside the Caddyshack restaurant of the horror con people with their in full regalia, you know, sitting next to a giant-sized gopher and a cardboard cutout of Ted Knight. That's what I'm going to say. So, oh, man. You know, don't you think, Dan, that they have to sell Baby Ruths?
That's a good question.
They have to. They have to have, like, a Baby Ruth, you know, and call it, it's no big deal. That's what other items would they have? What, did somebody step on a duck? No, that's a... did they have any specific... Oh, Fresca. They've got to have Fresca.
There you go.
How about a Fresca? That's in there. That's going to be fun. Anyway, that'll be an interesting. It'll be an interesting combination of fans. That's all I'm saying. That's a great addition to that hotel, though. By the way, and that hotel continues to get cooler every year. They add more stuff on every year. So, all right, we're back and we're talking about slang terms from the past, and we're going back to the 20s. So, Esmeralda, you want to hear some slang terms from the 20s?
Sure.
1920 slang terms. First one on this list, and a lot of these are still around. That's the thing. It's what I found looking at this list of the decade by decade slang terms. A lot of them are still around. It's just interesting to see exactly what decade they originated. Some of them originated earlier than I thought they did. Some of them are even still used today. All right, here's the first 20s slang term: 23 skidoo. You ever use that one, Esmeralda? 23 skidoo?
I have not used it, but I've heard it.
It's to get going, to move along, to leave, or scram. See? See what I'm saying? Scram, see? 23 skidoo. How about the cat's pajamas? Yeah, you hear that still every once in a while. Oh, she's just the cat's pajamas. You know what that means, right, Esmeralda? The cat's pajamas?
That you're neat.
You're the best. You're the height of excellence. You're the cat's pajamas. Wonder where that actually came from. Did somebody, if you had a cat and you put pajamas on him, and then you went, yeah, man, that's awesome. You ever put pajamas on your cat, Esmeralda?
I have not.
Would Smokey put up with having pajamas put on her?
No, she would eat me alive.
Well, hey, what are you doing with those pajamas? Don't get them near me, man. Do not. Now shut up and feed me. This is one of my favorite terms, gams. For legs. That's one of my favorites.
I have a etymology.
Oh, okay, for the cat's pajamas?
According to Wiktionary, which is the free dictionary, so grain of salt there. In the 1920s, the word cat was used to term to describe the unconventional flappers from the jazz era. This was combined with the word pajamas to form a phrase used to describe something that is the best at what it does, thus making it highly sought and desirable.
Pajamas were described as the best what?
Because it was a relatively new fashion in the 1920s.
Oh, I see. Because people were just sleeping in naked, and then suddenly they had pajamas and went, oh!
Everybody before 1920 slept naked.
Slept naked, yeah.
Or those really long shirts.
I wonder where does gams come? Can you look up gams? Where does that come from? How does that equal legs? Although I like that. I think the term's hilarious, actually. I like it. Esmeralda, you like the term gams?
It reminds me of yams.
Oh, so no, then. You would not like your legs compared to sweet potatoes. No.
I'm good.
No.
According to this?
Yeah.
Gamba is the Italian word for leg.
Oh, all right. See, that's cool. All right, how about the real McCoy? People still use this one. Some of these I still hear. You know, I still use gams. That's how sexist and idiotic I am. The real McCoy. Sincere, genuine, the real thing. Yeah, that guy's the real McCoy. Now, was there a guy named McCoy who was sincere? Is that the deal? There was just one guy named McCoy. He was the only sincere dude on the planet in the 20s? It's got to be a reference to some... Okay, how about this one? Hotsy-totsy. That means perfect, Esmeralda. Hotsy-totsy. You're the cat's pajamas. Check out the gams on that real McCoy. All right, how about Maul? It's a female companion of a gangster. Yep. Speakeasy, a place where alcohol was illegally sold and drunk during Prohibition. Did you guys know that Simon's used to be a speakeasy? You guys knew that, right?
I did not.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever taken the tour, Dan?
I've never taken the tour.
They still, Esmeralda, they still downstairs, if you go down, because I worked at Simon's for a while, and if you go in there, and Scott Martin is in, he's the owner, he'll happily give you a tour of the bar. There's a lot of history in that bar. From the mural on the wall, there's a great story behind the mural that's on the that covers the entire wall of the front part of the bar, to the some of the stories about, you know, why there's a door in the bar that has like a safe in it and a lock on it. And then, you know, he'll take you around, and then he'll take you downstairs and show you what, I don't know if they've ever had the cooler replaced, but they had like one of the oldest walk-in coolers in the country. And Esmeralda, I know you've been in a lot of walk-in coolers because you worked in bars, but this one has a big, crazy, heavy wooden door that has like a big metal swing on it that locks. And it's seriously, it's, I don't think they've changed it since the 20s. And you crank it open. Now, he's had to replace the interior of it, but it's still the same sort of 20s circa big wooden walk-in cooler. It's so cool. That's where all the kegs and stuff are. But they have, you know, the back door still has a slide on it, where you had to give the back door that leads down into the basement, because it was in the speakeasy was in the basement. And so they still have the slide on the door. You know how you, on a speakeasy, you're supposed to knock on the door and then give the pass. Well, you know, you've seen Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like they had one of those doors, and it's still there. It's still intact, and he's still got the old sign that says speakeasy on it and stuff. It's very, very cool. There's a lot of history in there. But, yeah, speakeasies. And then finally, we'll move on to the 30s, but finally the last one is the bee's knees. You ever say that, Dan? Bee's knees?
I have said that once or twice.
That means excellent or outstanding. Those are 20s terms. 23 Skidoo, the cat's pajamas, gams, the real McCoy, hotsy-totsy, mall, speakeasy, and the bee's knees. Do you guys have favorite slang terms from any decades or any time? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're talking slang terms and the best ones and the most fun ones. Welcome back, everybody. 218 area code on 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday, yeah. Gregory and the Hawk with Boats and Birds. Okay. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are talking about slang. And we just went through several terms from the 20s, and we wanted to know what your favorite slang terms were, you know, from the past or from the present. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More slang terms. All right, let's go to the 30s and get some slang terms from the 30s. And then maybe, Dan, we can look up where they maybe came from. I'll be a monkey's uncle. It's a sign of disbelief, or I don't believe it. I'll be a monkey's uncle. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Anytime you can put monkey in a phrase, though, it's good. I
it has to do with the Scopes trial.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, I didn't know that. All right. Now, this is still used today, Dan. This next one, Esmeralda, you've probably used this one, or at least you know people who use it. Gig, as in a job. People use that all the time, especially people in bands. Yeah. So that's from the 30s. How about Girl Friday? That's a secretary or a female assistant. Also, part of the title of one of the greatest movies ever made would be His Girl Friday. Where did that come from? Dan, can you look up Girl Friday? I mean, I know what it means. It means secretary or female assistant. I know that. But where, I wonder why the word Friday is in there. People enjoy Fridays. So maybe that's what it is.
Apparently there was a Man Friday in Robinson Crusoe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So there was a Man Friday, and then that's Robinson Crusoe. So that's where it came from? It came from the Girl Friday assistant? Oh, okay.
Man Friday used to describe the male personal assistant or servant.
Okay.
Especially one who's particularly competent or loyal.
Juke Joint, which is a casual and inexpensive establishment with drinking, dancing, and blues music, typically in the southeastern United States. Juke Joint. So was that where jukebox comes from? So that would be sort of the same.
The term juke is believed to be derived from a word juke or jug, meaning rowdy or disorderly.
Okay. So jukebox is a box that makes you play songs and everybody gets rowdy and disorderly? It didn't happen when I used to play Saga. They would get disorderly. They'd get very angry at me if I.
But since it was Canadian, they did it politely.
Yeah. The Canadians went, oh, I like this, eh? So, yeah. And then skivvies. They say it's specifically men's underwear. I thought skivvies were just underwear in general. You say someone's down to their skivvies, male or female. But this says it's men's underwear, skivvies. You ever use the word skivvies, Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I've used it. I thought skivvies applied to both men's and women's undergarments. So there you go. Those are the 30s slang terms. I'll be a monkey's uncle. Gig, Girl Friday, Juke Joint, and skivvies. Many of these are still used. Not a lot of people use I'll be a monkey's uncle. I mean, I'm sure they do, but not on a regular basis. But, like, gig, that's used pretty regularly. 40s slang terms. Here's from the 40s. Blockbuster, which means a huge success. That originated in the 40s. Hey, by the way, John Oliver, John Oliver did a piece on Last Week Tonight about the last remaining Blockbuster stores, and they're all, four of them are in Alaska, and the reason why is, I guess, you know, their Wi-Fi is bad and they don't have access to a lot of the streaming stuff. So, you know, there was a big news story about there's a Blockbuster closing down in Alaska and people are losing their minds over it. So they showed an interview footage from a news interview where they went to the Blockbuster, and there's a girl who works at the Blockbuster, and she's got the blue. It was just unbelievable. She got the blue shirt on, you know, and everything, and like it's set up. They didn't show the whole store, but in the background, you could see the shelves, and it was said. I was like, "Oh my god, it's there!" And the girl says, "People come in, and they just are in awe, and they look around and say, wow, I can't believe that this is still here, and they love it." It was just a really funny bit where like people are going to the Blockbuster over there, and just like now Blockbusters haven't been closed for that long here. I mean, I remember the one at Irving and Kimball, or is it Montrose and Kimball? Montrose and Kimball? It was Montrose and Kimball, I think. That was around, because when Heather and I were living in Albany Park, and this was like 2008, 2009, 2010, it was still around. And there are still video stores, I believe, that are functioning. We talked about that with Jeff when Tuckman was on, and a couple of people texted in. Remember, Dan? They texted in, and they called in, and they were like, hey, there's one here that's still operating, one here that's still operating. But, yeah, the one on Montrose and Kimball was still around for quite a while. I think it was one of the last ones in the city to close. So, but anyway, blockbuster is a term from the 40s. How about this one? Keeping up with the Joneses. That is competing to have a lifestyle or a socioeconomic status comparable to your neighbors. The Joneses. So that debuted in the 40s. Now, here's one that just, I don't know why I this is surprising to me. I thought this was definitely either a late 50s or early 60s term. It originated in the 50s or the 60s. But cool, which everybody uses every day. Cool, excellent, clever, sophisticated, fashionable, or enjoyable. That seemed like a 40s term, Dan, to you?
Not at all.
No. Esmeralda, what, I would think 50s, right? Like maybe mid-50s?
Mm, yeah.
When rock and roll hit? And they used it a lot in the 60s and 70s. Well, we use it a lot now, but I mean especially in the 60s and 70s. But wow, that was surprising to me to find out that was a 40s term. Sitting in the hot seat, another 40s term, in a highly uncomfortable or embarrassing situation. And smooch, which of course means kiss. Smooch. So those are 40s slang terms. You got any slang terms? We'd love to hear them. Which ones are your favorite and from what time period or now? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we've got the news coming up next and then more slang talk on WGN. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. Tuesday, two. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 815 area code requesting a two for Tuesday from Rockpile. Play that fast thing. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has your opening bell at 5. And the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Tuesday morning. We've been talking about slang terms and going down some of the decade by decade, some slang terms. And we've got a bunch of slang terms here that are millennial slang, which maybe people can explain to me. Because I don't know. And if you have any favorite slang terms from the past or the present, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We were just up through the 40s, so now we're getting into the 50s slang terms. So 50s slang terms. First one here is Big Brother is watching you, which someone of authority is monitoring your actions. Well, that's from the book, 1984. How about this one? Boo-boo, a mistake or a wound. Boo-boo. That originates in the 50s. Hi-fi, which would be high fidelity or a record player or turntable. Let's play on the hi-fi. And then hipster, an innovative and trendy person. That comes from the 50s. That's used now more than ever. Yeah, that's used now more than ever. I hear that, yeah. Every day you hear the word you hear the word hipster pretty much. And that originated in the 50s. So Big Brother is watching you, boo-boo. Hi-fi and hipster. So we got some texts coming in. And if you guys want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Let's see, 815. Rufus from Belvedere says, I'll be your huckleberry. That's from Tombstone. Sam says, here's one I know you'll recognize. Boss, as in that's really boss, man. From the 60s. Yeah, that was in the 70s, too. Yeah, that's boss, man. That's really boss. How about Dan, you hear the word hipster pretty frequently, right?
Sure.
Yeah. 50s. I can't believe it.
Wow.
50s. 763 area code says, when I was a kid we used the term bosso. For your boss? Hey, bosso. It's spelled B-O-S-S-O. It's not it's not like Tony Montana saying bozo. Hey, bosso. That's because that's how Tony Montana would say bozo. Bosso. 312 area code. What about red herring? Poachers and other unsavory characters would drag a herring across the ground where they had just walked to throw dogs off of their scent. Herrings were made red by the process of curing. There's an interesting little background on that one. 815 area code says, call me on the Amici. The name for a telephone based upon the movie about Alexander Graham Bell, who was portrayed by Don Amici. When did they call phones an Amici? Dan, have you ever heard a phone referred to as an Amici? Or maybe it was when the movie came out. I don't know. An Amici.
It is in the Urban Dictionary.
Is it really? Call me on the Amici? And then say cocoon? I've never heard that before. I mean, I knew Don Amici played Bell, but I've never heard. I think that's pretty cool, actually, I got to say. Give me a call on your Amici. Hey, you got your cell Amici? Do you have a smart Amici? Cocoon. So, all right. Let's see. Here is Trucker Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
My dad always used to use the term the whole nine yards.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, and I, as a kid, I asked him, I said, well, what the heck does that mean? He says, well, he was a gunner in World War II and a bomber, but the belts of ammunition that they loaded into each gun started out at 27 feet. So if they used up if they fired off every round in their machine guns, they used the whole nine yards.
Oh, okay, that's
they
interesting.
They came back empty.
There was
so
whole...
it's a term for...
Yeah.
A term for coming back empty or using everything possible.
Right. That's the whole nine yards. Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's an interesting term. I think some people thought it was a football term.
Right. No, you know? It's used up everything you got.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That's a good explanation. Right. Thank you, Rich.
Yep.
Be safe.
Yep. Have
there.
A good evening.
All right, buddy.
All
take
right.
care. There you go. Trucker Rich. That's interesting. All right. All right, how about 60s terms? Daddy-o, a man used to express a hipster or a beatnik. Yo, daddy-o. That was early 60s, though. And I would have thought that would have originated in the 50s, maybe mid or late 50s. Groovy, meaning cool, hip, or excellent. And hippie, derived from hipster. A young adult who rebelled against established institutions, criticized middle-class values, opposed the Vietnam War, and promoted sexual freedom. Hippie. That's still people still say hippie. And then the man, a person of authority or a group in power. That's from the 60s, too. 70s slang terms. Catch you on the flip side. That means see you later. Catch you on the flip side. You know, I grew up in the 70s. I'm a 70s kid. I never said catch you on the flip side. I used to go to the flip side to buy records and get concert tickets from Ticketron. And I guess that's... I thought flip side meant, you know, it was a reference to the other side of the record or the other side of the album. Catch you on the flip side. How about this? Dig it. To like or understand something. Can you dig it? Esmeralda, can you dig it?
Oh, yes, I can.
How about get down or boogie? Let's go get down. And then we'll boogie. Can you dig it? No? Well, then I'll catch you on the flip side. So you can have an entire conversation with just those examples of slang terms from the 70s. All right, next, mind-blowing. Unbelievable, originally expression for the effects of hallucinogenic drugs. Mind-blowing. That's a 70s term. Again, that's still used. People use that. Now, this is from the 70s. I didn't know that this originated in the 70s. Pump iron for lifting weights. That's a 70s term. Now, I know the movie Pumping Iron, did that come out in the 70s? I think it came out in the late 70s, Pumping Iron, the documentary. Yeah, I didn't know that was a 70s term. To pump iron means to lift weights.
77.
77, okay, well, that makes sense then. And then workaholic is a 70s term. A person who works too much or is addicted to his or her job is a workaholic. Don't they just add a holic to the end of things. Now that's like a shopaholic, right?
Or the word gate if it's a controversy,
right? If it's a there's a add gate to it, which of course doesn't make any sense at all. All right, 80s slang terms. Bodacious for beautiful. I don't think I ever, who used bodacious in the 80s? So, bodacious. Although, the bodacious is used in the movie Officer and a Gentleman by David Keith. He uses bodacious a couple of times in that movie. So maybe that is a strict 80s term. I don't know. All right. We got more 80s slang term and slang from you guys and phrases. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Call us or text us with your slang right now. 312-981-7200. We got a break here for weather and for traffic. A little issue? Yeah.
YouTube is experiencing interruptions. I'll try to find out why.
815 area code requesting rock pile. That's knife and fork. Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. Or one and a half for Tuesday. Get your request in now. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live. Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. And we've been talking about fun terms, slang terms from different decades. We've gone all the way back to the 20s with some of these terms. And some of those terms from the 20s and 30s and 40s are still being used. And we're up to the 80s, and we'll get back to those. And we would love to hear from you, either talk or text with your slang terms at 312-981-7200. Here's David on WGN. Hey, David.
Hi, I was having a flashback in the 80s. What's the one that you were mentioning? I was thinking like gag me with a spoon.
Yeah,
totally awesome. Hang ten. Totally tubular.
Yeah, tubular, yeah. Yeah. That's, well, I've got this list here of 80s slang terms. Gag me with a spoon is indeed on here. Which was, you know, that of course was made popular when the Valley Girl stuff broke in the 80s. So, and yeah, so those are the 80s, man. I tell you, they were a weird time, man. You know, people talk about the 70s and bad, like, oh, the fashion of the 70s is terrible. The 80s were awful. 80s were awful for clothing and hair. I had every conceivable bad hair from the 80s that you could have. I had the rat tail. That was a particularly strong look right there. rat tail. Oh, man, I had a lot of chicks when I had the rat tail with the spiked up hair with the moose in it. It's a bad time, man. Bad time. All right. David, thanks for your call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Pete on WGN. Hi, Pete.
Hello, I got three for you.
All right.
The personnel office, somewhere in the late 70s, early 80s, became human resources.
No, it just changed the title of it, yeah.
And employees became associates.
Hmm.
And in 1970, Kmart came up with, they ordered all their employees to wish the customers to have a nice day. And that's when Have a Nice Day became popular, and now we have a Good One.
Have a Good One. Yeah, and Have a Nice Day became just the smiley face buttons became Have a Nice Day. You didn't even have to say it. If you had a smiley face button on, that meant Have a Nice Day.
Well, they also somebody came up with a button, too, that said, don't tell me what kind of day to have.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right. Thank you, Pete.
Yep.
Take care. Yeah. Do they still do blue light specials at Kmart? Does anybody know, Esmeralda? Do you know? Do they still do blue light specials at Kmart?
I don't know.
I think they might just have signs that say it's a blue light special.
Yeah, and it's just there all the time.
Yeah,
they're not over loudspeakers like before.
Oh, that was the best. You know what my uncle used to do? I've told you this before, right, Dan?
No.
When I've never told you this before. My uncle. used to just like, get a kick out of it. We would, you know, like we're in Kmart or whatever. And what they used to have, if you guys don't remember, they used to have the whatever the blue light special was, Esmeralda, it was in a big cart. Like a, you know, and the item was like dumped in a cart that was on wheels. And on the end of the cart was a tall stick that had like a police light on top, a blue light that spun around like a police car. You know? What are those called again? There's a term for those. Dan, do you know the term for there is an actual term for the light on top of a police car that goes around?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up now.
And I can't remember. It's not siren because that's the sound that comes out. It's the whatever. There is a term though. But anyway, they had one of those on the end of the cart, and they would announce over the PA, next 15 minutes or whatever, next 20 minutes is a blue light special on pantyhose, you know, in aisle 12. And then they would turn the blue light on, and you would see, you know, you'd be on the other side of the store, and you would see the light going, the police light, the blue light spinning, and you would see that, and then that's where you knew where the container was with all the pantyhose in it. And so people would go over. They would only have 10 minutes or 15 minutes to get to the blue light special, get to that container, grab your pantyhose, and get this remarkable discount that's only going to be up there for 10 minutes. And so people would run around in the store and go after it. So my uncle would take the blue light container, like, because they would leave them out. My uncle would move them to some part of the store and then plug the light in. There'd be no announcement, but the light would go off, and then he'd stand back and watch people run stand back, and he would laugh his ass off. This is the stupidest, most juvenile thing in the world to do, but of course this comes from, this is, you know, my family we're talking about. And so he would do this. He would do this, like, he would get a kick out of this. He would just, like, come on, hey Nick, because I was Nicky then, because I was a little kid. He's like, hey, Nicky, come here. And then he'd move the cart. He would push the cart with the blue light on the end of it. And then he would plug the light in, the light would go on, and then we'd stand back, we'd go back like 10 feet, and then he would point and laugh for 10 minutes when people would come running up in their carts, desperately trying to see what the blue light special was, and there wasn't one. But that was like his thing. See, that's the kind of stuff that was planted in my head as a little kid. Move the blue light special cart, plug it in, and watch people run towards it. That's comedy. And it was funny. It was very funny. That's what my uncle used to do all the time at Kmart. Just to, you know, just to kill the time and entertain me as a six-year-old. So, all right. Here's Jane on WGN. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on.
Oh, I said there's a real old one called Hubba Hubba Ding Ding Baby You Have Everything.
Hubba Hubba Ding Ding Baby You Have Everything.
Yeah, it meant you were really... really something to look at.
That sounds sometimes, like it.
Sometimes they used to just say hubba hubba.
Well, hubba hubba, yeah, hubba hubba, I have used that one before. I knew that. I just didn't know the full hubba hubba ding ding baby you have everything. I didn't know that was the whole thing.
Then there's another one called you're stylin'.
Yeah, you're stylin'. That's
or
a good
one. Or glam. She's glam, you know.
Instead of glamorous, it's just glam. Yeah.
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 Well, that's what I remember.
All right, Jane, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bye. Hubba hubba, ding ding, baby, you've got everything. Esmeralda, how guy comes up to you, says that. That's it. It's
done.
It's over. You're married.
Yeah. Let's go to court right now. Put a ring on it.
How did you know that you wanted to marry him? Well, the first thing he said to me was hubba hubba, ding ding.
It was the password.
Here's another one from the 80s, Esmeralda. It's that people still use chillin'. Instead of relaxing, I'm going to be chilling. So that was developed in the 80s. So, did we ever find out what the light on the top of a police car is called?
So, Mars Light.
Mars, that's it. That's it.
Yeah. We've also received bubblers or rollers.
Right.
Mars Light is the
Mars Light is the... That's the actual term. Bubblers and rollers, I know. That's the police car with the Mars. But the Mars Light, that's what it is. It's a Mars Light. That's what I couldn't think of. So the blue Mars Light that my uncle would plug it in, the blue Mars Light would go. People would go nuts and run across the store, and my uncle and I would laugh.
And Texter says they do still have them.
They do? They do still have the lights and everything?
I don't know about lights, but blue light specials.
Okay. Okay. All right, we got to take a break here, and the news is coming up after this. 815 area code for 2 for Tuesday. You hear me, 2 for Tuesday? Was this just hopeful thinking? Dan, is that what this request is all about?
Might be.
815 area code requesting the Lovin' Spoonful Summer in the City, which it is not. It is decidedly not Summer in the City. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 with the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we are here in the Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, looking out at the world. So we're talking about slang terms. We've been going through decade by decade, all the way back to the 20s, talking about some of the fun slang terms and learning, you know, where they came from, what their origin was, and in some cases surprised of what decade that they actually, you know, were developed in and are still being used today. And we also have some millennial slang that we'll get to that I won't understand. I'm just letting you know now. I won't understand any of it. We've got some we got some texts here, and we would love to hear from you, talk or text with your slang thoughts. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, take a rain check. This dates back to the 1880s and references the practice of giving baseball game ticket holders a pass to a game that was being rescheduled due to weather. It's commonly used as a metaphor for postponing or rescheduling a meeting. Yes, that's true. But they used to give rain checks out at the ball game if it was rained out. I remember those days at Wrigley. That was back. Man, oh, man. It was just so weird to think about that now, Dan, because, you know, growing up where I grew up, right on Addison, during the summer, I would just walk to Wrigley and walk into the building. Just kind of sit anywhere I wanted. And we used to put the seats up. You know, like, you know how the seats fold down, the bottom part of the seat fold down? We used to stay after the game. My friends and I would stay after the game, and we would fold the seats back up, and they would give us tickets to future games.
Wow.
For doing that, yeah. Yeah. You don't do that anymore.
No.
Can you imagine that? People sticking around afterwards, just folding up the chairs and going, where are my tickets? Where are my $250 tickets? 815 area code says the word sick. We used to use that in the 90s meaning cool. Like, example, that car is sick. Yeah, I still use that term. I use that term. You know what I use? I find myself using sick as a term of like, wow, that's great or really cool. It's usually, when I use it, it's usually describing a really amazing play in hockey or a kind of a incredible goal. And it's mostly applied to Patrick Kane. Boy, that Kaner is sick. Did you see Kaner's last goal? That was sick. I guess I just apply it to hockey exclusively. Dan, you ever use the word sick to describe something cool?
I don't think I have, because I don't think I could pull it off.
It's just hockey. It's a hockey term. And I know it's not really, but that's the only context in which I ever use it. Because hockey fans say that a lot. I guess that's one of those terms that's like kind of almost exclusive just to hockey fans, I think. Yeah. 847 area. Let's go to your pad, which would mean apartment or house. Oh, man. That only applies nowadays to frogs. See what I did there? Because the frogs, lily pads, see? Esmeralda, did you get that one? Is it lily pads? Pads?
No, explain it to me.
Is lily pads frogs? Pads. Lily pads. They live on lily. They hang out on lily pads.
Oh, that's funny.
See?
Hmm.
I wonder where Let's Go to Your Pad came from. That sounds like a 60s one.
Well, didn't they? I mean, that was what it was, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Apartments were your pad.
That would,
bachelor pad.
Yeah. I don't know where pad came from, though. Like, where did that come from? I mean, what is it, a reference to frogs being on lily pads? I don't know.
Maybe. It could be. That is their home.
Peter Indicator said stoned. It once referred to someone who was drunk. Then later it became high on marijuana. And all slang terms for that, reefer, weed, Mary Jane, and more for marijuana. Yeah, stoned used to be drunk. It's actually, they actually, you know, Robert Redford says that in Barefoot in the Park. And he's not referring to marijuana. Jane Fonda, he and Jane Fonda get into kind of an argument, and she says, you know, last Tuesday we were at the bar and you were drunk. And he says, yeah, that's right, I was stoned. You watch the movie now and you're like, oh, he pulled out some weed at the bar? Too? All right. 773 area code. The whole enchilada. That's a good one. The whole enchilada. And then the one I really hate is Do You Feel Me? And then 312 area code is Bogart. Hey, man, don't Bogart that joint. You ever hear that? You've heard that term, right?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, don't Bogart that joint. There's a Frank Sinatra, or Frank Sinatra. Yeah, Frank Sinatra wrote a song about Bogarting a joint. No, Zappa. I think it was Zappa wrote a song called Don't Bogart That Joint. All right. Here is Glenn on WGN with some slang. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
And I have to watch my language here.
Okay.
All right. Well, one of them is called a... He doesn't have a pot to pee in.
Yeah.
And the other one is pee pour. And those went back to where the really poor people, the only way they could make a living was to give away their urine. And if you didn't have a pot, then you couldn't even sell that.
Right.
Yeah. And it still holds up.
All right. Yeah, it does. It does.
I guess.
Yeah, sure.
If you pee poor.
Yeah, if you're pee poor, that's right. All right. Thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome. Have a nice morning.
All right, take care. You know my friend Manny Tamayo, Dan? He's a J-Town native, by the way, Esmeralda. Manny.
Oh.
Manny Tamayo. He is married to my other friend, Allison Kane. They are both members of the Factory Theater. And they've been married for probably, I want to say, 12, 13 years now. Something like that. Maybe more. 12, 13, 14 years. He proposed to her in front of everybody at a factory event at Chief O'Neill's. Okay? Which is lovely. And it was a lovely moment. It was a surprise to everybody, and we all witnessed it. It was like the entire factory family was there, and we all... They were up on the little stage at Chief O'Neill's, and they were supposed to go up. It was for one of our benefits, you know, one of our launch parties. We would have a launch party for every show about a month before it opened, and it would be at Chief O'Neill's. And we would have people go up and do songs, and we would debut the trailer of the play and have little, you know, contests and trivia and stuff. And it was there, obviously, to raise money to put back into the production of the play. So it was at Chief O'Neill's. The place was packed. And Manny, in all his fantastic... I don't know if you know how romantic Manny Tamayo is. He's not. He's not at all. He's like... Manny Tamayo is my horror buddy. Like, he's you know, the guy that I would see all the crazy, disgusting horror movies with, and he's insane. But he's a great guy, and he's a terrific actor and a great writer. So anyway, he's up on stage with Allison, and they're up, and they're supposed to be doing, like, an announcement thing. And then he sits her down, and he's like, hey, you know, I don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. You want to marry me? That was like his proposal. And the place went nuts. It was Manny. You know what I mean? Like, that's how he's getting... If there is a romantic way for Manny Tamayo to propose to someone, that's how he does it. And everybody was on the, it was, and she started crying. It was a beautiful moment. She said yes. He gave her the ring, and it was all nice. But that, you know, you didn't say that. You didn't say, I don't have a pot to pee in and a window to throw it out of, but I want to marry you.
No, I didn't.
You didn't do that one?
No, Esmeralda, which one do you prefer, that one or the,
Hippity, hippity, hoppity, hip? What's that? What was it? No, hubba, hubba, you've got you everything. Hubba, hubba, bing, bing, you've got everything.
And then, would you marry me? Or?
Yeah.
If two suitors walked up to you, one of them said that.
I have a pot to pee. I don't have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of, but I really would like to marry you.
And then the other one said...
I like the pot to pee in one.
Do you?
Because the other one's just like, what? This is gibberish.
Yeah.
I'm just being like, huh?
And he was telling the truth. didn't make a lot of money. Manny didn't wasn't making a lot of money at the time, you know, and he was like, but I really would like to be with you, and that would be pretty cool, I think. It was all I'm saying is it was a lovely moment, and that's what I thought of when the caller called in and said that. Because first thing, whenever I hear that phrase, and I don't hear that phrase very often, of course, Manny says it, but you don't hear that phrase very often. And he added, Manny also added a window to throw it out of. It wasn't just like the one, like the key to it was the window to throw it out of. It was the best marriage proposal I've ever witnessed, and I've witnessed a lot. Oh, well, just two besides that one. The other two were me proposing. 2 for Tuesday a year. 815 area code, Love and Spoonful. Do you believe in magic? Hey, did you notice the slang term they used in that? Groovy. Yes, groovy. Because it is. To believe in magic, it's groovy. I don't know. Here are the rest of the 80s terms, Esmeralda, to see if you remember some. Dweeb, that originated in the 80s. He's a nerd or someone who is not cool. He's a dweeb. Fly. Well, we've used that. Oh, we've used that. We use that every week.
Yeah, that's still going.
That's still going. That means cool or very hip. Gag me with a spoon, we mentioned earlier. That's disgusting. Gnarly. Now, I'm confused by this one.
Mm.
Gnarly, according to this, is exceptional and very cool. I thought gnarly was a negative thing.
I mean, in the 80s, it was... That's what it meant.
It was cool?
Now, I mean, like, I've used it, but I'm using it when I mean something gross.
Yeah, that's what I... That's what I thought.
I mean, in the 80s, I think it was, you know, gnarly.
Yeah, okay. But now that's it's negative, cool. though, right? Isn't it? It's more...
I mean, no one's yelling gnarly at
No,
anything.
I know, but if, like, if something's disgusting, it's, it's gnarly.
Right.
So that's why when I saw this little explanation here... How do Bill and Ted use it in the movie? Is it positive?
They used it positive.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if I want to find out how the correct way to use that stuff, I go to Bill and Ted.
Right.
They're the
definitive.
The finest etymologists of
That's
our
exactly
time.
Right. You know they're making a third one?
I saw the picture. Yeah.
Oh my God! It's the greatest. It's the best. Have you seen the picture, Esmeralda?
I have. Yeah.
Of them in the telephone booth. There are no more telephone booths. I don't know what. I don't know how that. How that's going to work out in the movie? How about preppy? One who dresses in designer clothing and has a neat, clean-cut appearance. Wicked. It means excellent or great. If you're from Boston, right? That's an East Coast. That's a Boston thing, right? Wicked cool. Wicked hot. And then, of course, yuppie, the young urban professional. All right, 90s terms. Now, you should have all of these down pat, Esmeralda.
Right.
Dis, meaning to show disrespect.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It originated in the 90s.
Yeah.
People still use it. How about this one? Get jiggy.
Oh, I still use that one. You don't?
I was getting jiggy with it. And it's with it. Not
right.
With it. It's with it.
Well, because it is still the millennium.
It is the millennium. Was it the millennium? Was it the cause, yeah, it is the millennium, I guess, yeah. Homie or homeboy?
I mean, people still use... I don't know if they... Well, no, people still use homeboy.
Yeah, I think so. This one makes people angry. People are annoyed by this one. My bad. People get annoyed. You know, whenever we talk about phrases that annoy people, that always pops up. My bad. You know, just say my mistake. People get mad over that one.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not use the King's English.
Yeah. This is my bad. People hate that one. Fat. P-H-A-T.
No. No one's using that.
I mean, man, that is fat. It's highly attractive. It's hot or it's cool. What's up?
Oh, God.
And
who was that? Oh, it was Mark Carman. He walked in, he was here, I forget what day it was, but he just came in and did that, and I just gave him the dirtiest look.
Did he?
I was like, no.
Did he get out of a DeLorean from 1997?
Right.
What?
I just gave him the dirtiest look, and he's like, "Oh, you got so mad at me," and I'm like, "Yeah, because you said what's up at me."
Well, you know, I thought that was funny. The first time I saw those commercials, I thought they were funny.
Right. He did this in 2018. Though. Right. He did this in probably March.
How about Word? Like, yes, I agree. Word.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it. It's more than I
word up. Say. All right, and then 2000s slang. Barney bag.
What is what?
That's a gigantic purse, according to this.
Oh, I've never heard
I've never
that.
Heard that before either. Dan, have you ever heard Barney bag?
Nope.
A newbie.
Mm.
Newcomer, mm-hmm. Someone who's inexperienced. Peeps.
Ugh.
Got to hang out with my peeps.
I knew someone who kept saying that.
Peeps?
Yes. And it wasn't like they were talking to bosses, but they were talking to their colleagues. And like, yes, we'll get those peeps together, and then we'll have those peeps meet up. I'm like, what?
And they weren't referring to the marshmallow treat that we just ate a couple of weeks ago?
They were referring to people.
All right. This one's even worse. This one's even worse. Peeps is bad.
Mm.
This is worse. Rents.
Like parents? No.
Yeah.
No.
That's terrible.
No.
I used to call my parents parental units when the Coneheads were on SNL because that's how they referred. That's how they just, where are the right. parental units? That's not. I used to refer because I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
There's
and then finally, sweet, which is beyond cool. That's sweet.
And people still say that, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that under newbie there wasn't noob.
Because everything's got to be shorter, right? Everything, that's the whole point, is to say things as quickly as possible.
Right.
708 area code says, Mars Light is a Chicago Police Department term. It came from the Mars Signal Light Company here in Chicago. Their slogan is the light from Mars. Oh, okay. Mark in Cleveland says, the cop lights are also called gumballs. 312 area code, how come rad wasn't on the list? Yeah, that's rad.
Mm. I bet you Californians still say rad.
Oh, of course they do.
The ones who ride, you know,
skateboards. Sure. In Venice
roller
Beach.
Rollerblades.
On Venice Beach. That's the name.
Yeah.
815 area code, I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Oh, boy.
And then finally, oh, I love this one. I used to say this one when I was a kid, man, when I was in the 70s, late 70s. How about book, as in let's book? Time to book. We got to get out of here. I used to say that all the time. I totally forgot about that.
I say cheese it.
Cheese it?
We got cheese it.
What, do people suddenly bust into a room when you... cheese it! It's the fuzz! All right, well, there you go. Thank you, everybody, for some of the slang. So there you go. Hey, by the way, you know that this weekend, Esmeralda, is Record Store Day.
Oh.
And so we're going to have Jim Hankey in tomorrow. Very to nice. Give us a preview of that. That's all coming up. All right. The news is coming up next. So see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.